right, we're here for the FitCast Pulse. We're back after a little bit of a hiatus. This is the Pulse for the week of June 3rd, believe it or not. We're already into June. Right, Lee?
Yes, we are.
It's June 3rd.
Doing
it's hot
a
out.
Little adjustment there. I mean, my time, sometimes I don't even know where the days go. I mean, sometimes like 4 days just gone. Didn't even realize it.
Well, the thing is, inside industry secret that we are recording the pulses on Sundays now just for the sake of scheduling. And, you know, I thought I might be able to get my Fridays a little bit more open, but, doesn't seem like that. So we are recording everything on Friday. John is not with us again. He, I think we've talked about his top secret job, and, you know, sometimes that makes him go to places where he is not able to sit at a computer and talk to us over the internet. And unfortunately, Ricky Martin has a great concert going on in Australia, so he is with
Isn't
Ricky.
Isn't that a coincidence, Kevin?
Coinky dink. He is living La Vida Loca with Ricky Martin over in Australia. So we have lots of fans out there, so hopefully they're treating him well.
I hope so.
Now let's get to the pulse this week. We've had a lot of cool stuff, and one of the big things that we've had, you know, sent to us through Facebook, and it's been on Twitter, it's been all over the place, and it's like it was almost caused like a big stir. By the way, I had lots of caffeine today. Anna Kournikova joins The Biggest Loser. And you can kind of pick and choose where you got this from. It seems like it was a really big deal. She's the way they were portraying it in the news is that she is coming in to replace Gillian Anderson, which Gillian Michaels. I'm sorry, Gillian Anderson. She's on the X-Files, but Gillian Michaels has left the show. She's actually going to do her own show with Dr. Oz, and
she's going to be on The Doctors is what it is.
Oh, The Doctors. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So,
she is going to be, I guess, the non-doctor of The Doctors.
Cool. So Anna Kournikova is coming in, and you probably know her. She's the, you know, very beautiful and somewhat talented tennis star. And she ended up leaving tennis because of a low back injury / not being very good. She's also, you know, I guess been around the fitness industry as she trains to look good. So that's kind of what her part in the fitness industry is. So I guess that's why there is some backlash, I guess. Like I posted this on Facebook and I said, this is great. Anna Kournikova is coming on The Biggest Loser. I might actually watch it now. She's smoking hot. You know, I don't really watch The Biggest Loser to get my latest and greatest fitness tips, but you know what? I might tune in just to see what the reaction is to her. And the comments that I got is that, you know, how could you like this? This isn't good. You know, she doesn't know anything about fitness. And of course she doesn't, you know, but again, Lee and I were talking a little bit about this before we started recording, but you know, maybe she's not necessarily on the show to be, you know, the best trainer. Of course they could have gone out there and got a better trainer for the show. Someone that, you know, has a very nice background of clientele that has, you know, done the research. They've been in the trenches for the last, you know, dozens or, you know, some odd years, but, she brings star power to the show. Definitely makes it newsworthy in terms of her, you know, what bringing a discussion, you know, what does she bring to the show and what they're trying to bring to the show is from the articles that have been out there, and what the producers have been saying is that they're trying to just promote overall wellness and not just fat loss on the show. And that's what she's going to bring. She's going to promote overall wellness instead of just the number, you know, that's kind of the quote, the number that's on the scale that they don't want to focus on so much. So Lee, what do you think? I mean, you're a woman in the fitness industry and, you know, Anna Kournikova is now coming on to The Biggest Loser to help people lose weight and become healthier. How do you feel about this?
Obviously, it's a television publicity thing. I mean, it's not like they just picked her out of the hat without really thinking about it. I mean, I think that, you know, we'd be lying if that wasn't an angle. But I'm really going to go from the standpoint of not judging her performance or what happens before I see what she actually does. I know that she's an elite athlete. Sure, maybe she's not a Wimbledon runner, but she's still an elite athlete and has been an elite athlete since she was a very little girl. There's an amazing sense of discipline that she has learned throughout her entire life. I, I'm not going to say I'm familiar with her work in the sense of I have no sound bite to speak of. I don't know anything she's really ever said on training and nutrition. It could be brilliant or it could be horrible. I just don't know. I'm not really going to seek it out. I always kind of take a look at The Biggest Loser a little bit at the beginning of the year just to kind of see what they're doing because it's our field. I mean, I am curious about it. But I'm going to reserve any sort of opinions until I actually see what she does. From what I'm understanding, Bob Harper is still going to be on the show. Allison Sweeney is still going to be on the show. They're bringing in two other trainers, if I am getting this correctly. And I think they're going to be focusing on more like individual transformations. And there's a new show that's coming out. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's basically Extreme Makeover, like weight loss edition, where they follow like one person for 1 year and they see them go from like overweight to being in shape or whatnot. And I think there's a large trend following that. The Biggest Loser has been on this same kind of pattern for what is this, like the 13th season or I don't even know how many of these things there's been, but it's definitely up there. And I think that people are, how much heavier can they get? How bigger can the numbers get? And I already have issues with this show as it is with the way that they do things. I mean, it's a lot longer than what it suggests on TV. This past one was almost 6 months. They kind of make it out to seem like the weigh-ins go from week to week to week when there's sometimes 2, even 3 weeks between weigh-ins for some of those numbers to come up. There's just a lot there with that show. I would like to see them go in a healthier aspect. I would like to see them rein in a little bit the kind of competitiveness and craziness to the point to where I know people who complain about losing 4 to 5 pounds a week because they watch shows like that. They complain about losing 4 to 5 pounds a week. I think it gives the wrong stigma. So I'm curious to see where they go. I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, yeah, like she's a hot chick and they're going to hire her for that. Get over it. It's TV anyway. I know a lot of people are upset about it because they think they just hired a sex pot. But I will say that sex pot does reside in an elite athlete. And as much as it may irritate some people because of the branding and the areas she's gone with what she does, she's still an elite athlete. And I don't really see how it's much different than a lot of football players or basketball players that are male end up going into male modeling and going that route too. I think in a way it's kind of a reverse judgment, to be honest, on females in the industry. So I'm curious to see where it goes. I'm going to judge not until it happens.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a very big season premiere for them, and I'm sure that's what they're hoping for.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to kind of echo what you say. And, you know, again, it is television. If you guys are watching The Biggest Loser to get like a new workout or a new training plan, you're doing it wrong because it's not necessarily built for you. It's built for people that we talked about this in the past, people who have 8 hours a day to exercise. And
even that, let's be honest, well, I think, you know, both of us would not do what the trainers do on TV, even if we had 8 hours a day.
No, it's for show. And, you know, unfortunately it is what sells and it's what people want to watch. So they're going to keep putting it out there. You know what I will say is as much crap as that we give the Biggest Loser, you watch those season finales and those people have done a great job at, and by people I mean the contestants have done a great job at becoming much healthier and, you know, taking the steps to live a better life and a longer life. So, you know, I will always give props to the people that go on those shows and they do lose the weight. You know, the way they do it is something that we will still, you know, maybe not be too supportive with. But yeah, that's that. And, you know, related note, I just want to give a shout out to Oprah. She just wrapped up her 25 years on television. And, you know, I know she does listen every week. She's a big fan of The Pulse.
Huge fan.
And I think we've been helping her quite a bit. She's actually in talks with us to bring us onto the O Network. So we will hopefully have some more news on that down the road. But Lee, you have a really interesting story, and I was very happy that you put that in the outline because I didn't see it during the week. So can you talk about your article from Time?
Sure. It's It's redirecting me. I'm just waiting. There we go. It's loading now. There is an article I saw, and I just found it to be very interesting. It's titled, it's from Time Magazine, time.com. It's titled Baby Boomers Fueling Boom in Knee and Hip Surgeries. And right off the bat, you read the title, or at least I read the title, and I kind of got the impression that the article was most likely talking about an increase in obesity, and perhaps like there's more strain on the joints due to our lack of activity. But as you read the article, it's actually really interesting. So I'm just going to go ahead. It's a pretty short article. I can almost whiz right through it. Here it is. We're becoming a nation of bum knees, worn out hips, and sore shoulders, and it's not just the Medicare set. Baby boomers and joints also taking a pounding, spawning a boom in operations to fix them. Knee replacement surgeries have doubled over the last decade and more than tripled in the 45 to 64 age group. And here's the surprise. It is not all due to obesity. Ironically, trying to stay fit and avoid extra pounds is taking a toll on a generation that expects bad joints can be swapped out like old tires on cars. Boomeritis, or fix-me-itis, is what Dr. Nicholas DeNolwe of suburban Philadelphia surgeon calls it. It's this mindset of fix me at any cost and turn back the clock. The boomers are the first generation trying to stay active in droves on an aging frame and are willing to use a cane or put up with the pain or stiffness aren't willing to use a cane or put up with the pain or stiffness that their grandparents did. A huge industry says that they don't have to. TV ads are showing people water skiing with new hips. Ads of the athletic knee or the custom knee, the male knee or the female knee. Billie Jean King is promoting the 30-year Smith and nephew knee she got last year and saying that had she known that it would have been this good, she would have done it years ago. Basically, the point of the article showing is that a lot of people seem to be bypassing even the physical therapy and rehab aspect of things, are getting stronger and are just saying, well, you know, the heck with it. We'll just trade out some knees. And it doesn't look like that the surgeon or the surgeons or the orthopedic people are really doing much to stop that. And they looked at things. And one of the most interesting things was that 5 or 10 years ago, a very small number of people under 65 were receiving this surgery. And now we see more and more people are getting it. The knee replacement soared from 264,000 in 97 to 621,000 in 2009. And only 36% of that they considered was due to obesity or weight related issues. So, I mean, that's basically it. But the point, and I do want to say this too, at the bottom, it's one of the best expert recommended I've read in a while. It says experts recommend cross training. People tend to use one thing that they like and do it over and over again, but multiple activities can prevent overuse. Balancing your routines with strength, flexibility, core, and cardiovascular health. Losing weight, extra pounds can add up. Spending more time warming up, letting your muscles and joints recover in between workouts, and if you've had joint replacement, to do physical therapy. I don't know about you, but I read a lot of tips at the end of articles, and I actually thought that was one of the best ones I've read in a while, as far as simplicity and really delivering a point. So a very interesting article, and not what I was expecting from reading the title. Oh, what do you think, Kevin?
Well, you know, again, I think this is something that we're still, you know, seeing quite a bit firsthand when it comes to our clients. You know, I'm definitely seeing it at the facility, at Mike Boyle's, and I'm sure you see it with your clients yourself, Lee, when there's just, you know, there's almost, you know, the people when they get into that, you know, 50-year-old range, they're almost always talking about some kind of knee pain when they come to you for the first time.
Yep.
You know, whether they're, you know, still active, you know, whether it's playing tennis, you know, the guys that still play in the softball league and they still want to play, you know, they still want to, you know, do some kind of athletic activity. And of course, there's always the runners that come in with the knee pain. And we've, you know, been able to clean that up quite a bit. We all know the things to look for when it comes to knee pain, whether it's quad tightness or, you know, poor dorsiflexion, stuff like that. So I think it's something that, you know, we've again talked about this kind of stuff in the past, but, you know, doctors will always find a reason to open you up. not necessarily look at the preventative things or the things that can be done before you go under the knife. So, you know, I think this is something that it will be a little bit of a wake-up call. And I hate to say it, but it's kind of good news for us because that means we're going to have more people coming to us and to physical therapists. You know, at least we can hope so, that more people are going to want to stay away from going under the knife, and they want to do the, you know, the simple thing. Like, again, this is a lot of these things with anterior knee pain that people come to us with. It's very easy to clean up 90% of the time, I'd say. You know, just getting people on the foam roller, getting them stretching. And
absolutely. There are so many alternatives that you can take mm-hmm. for going to knee surgery. And it's hardly ever recommended as an option. I mean, I think probably, I wouldn't say every single one, but I would say that almost 90% of clients I get have some sort of recurring pain issue.
Sure, yeah.
And that is, I wouldn't say cured, but certainly treated and developed toward a positive manner with literally, like, you know, 5 to 7 sessions. Mm-hmm. You can knock out some years of repetitive pain that's taken place by just addressing weak muscles, overuse issues, tight quads or weak hamstrings, or just a foam roller in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it's interesting that in this day and age, the orthopedics and the people are saying, you know, that's nice and all, but can I just get that new knee? Mm-hmm. And I do wish John was here for this conversation. That's why I put it in too. And I would be curious to know what kind of risks and problems those surgeries could be associated with that, you know, would not be even an issue for someone if they just kept their old knee and just rehabbed and made sure to work around it. And so, for the listeners, you know, if that's a situation, make sure in my opinion, and I know John usually says this, surgery should just be an absolute last resort. Mm-hmm. So, I just find it fascinating that it's something, because of how it's almost seeming to be advertised and modeled, that people are going, well, yeah, sure, I'll get the 30-year-old knee.
Well, it's routine. You know? I think that's the problem, is if it's become routine, like, you almost, like, plastic surgery has almost become routine for people, where, you know, you can almost go, at least in the major cities, you could go, you know, 100 yards and find another plastic surgeon. So I think, again, a lot of the people, for a lot of people, it's, you know, I don't have the time, or I don't have the energy to fix this myself. I will just have a surgeon do it, and I will have my health insurance pay for it. And in the end, they end up being in an even crappier situation. And, you know, I'm at this point, a fake knee is not better than your knee. You know, maybe in 10 or 15 years or 20 years, we're going to have this cool, like, iRobot. If you've seen that movie, iRobot, where you're going to be able to just, like, take, you know, jump off of a 100-foot building and land perfectly safe because you got bionic legs. But at this point, we're not there, and it's
sadly very sad.
Well, yeah. I
can't wait until that hits.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But I didn't like that movie. But we will.
Bionic knees and hoverboards, Kevin. I mean, that's really what it's about.
Power laces. That's what I need. Power laces. Yeah, very interesting stuff, and it's a good thing that John isn't here, because we'd be talking about it for 45 minutes.
Probably,
and
we can only talk but I'd love about hearing so it. Much. I'd love hearing it. If John, you're listening to this afterwards, I'd love to hear what you have to say about it.
One quick thing I want to bring up, since we are talking about this on Friday, yesterday, the Michelle Obama unveiled the new replacement to the food pyramid, which is the dinner plate.
Okay, I don't know how I've missed this.
Well, it just happened yesterday, so
okay.
There's a chance that it might not have popped up for you, but I don't know. I don't think I have an opinion on it yet. Maybe I will next week, once we see it, because that's actually
food
in the future.
Pyramid, hello, dinner plate. I'm doing a little scanning real quick.
Yeah, look at that. The sign.
What's the basis of it? Is it? I see that.
Basically the. Again, it's kind of the whole setup where the food pyramid still sucks. It's still really confusing, and it's still unbalanced. And, you know, there's some people out there that, no, there shouldn't be any grains on it, or, you know, there should be more only protein, and there should be only vegetables and a little bit of, you know, animal sources and all this crap. You know, everyone's going to have their own opinion, but I think they're definitely looking at leaning towards something that is a little bit more understandable for, you know, the people out there that aren't into this stuff that much, but it's something that a doctor can give their one of their patients and say, you know, here's the new food pyramid, and or not the food pyramid.
Okay, so what this is instead of using a pyramid to describe their guidelines, they're using a plate.
Yeah,
I got
exactly.
It. Okay.
So it's more
okay.
of like a pie chart. And
so
less
I know
of...
the guidelines. I got mm-hmm. it. Okay. I thought there was like a whole new guideline system. I'm like, wow, they just released like the change of the guidelines. I got you.
Yeah, that
well,
might,
you know,
that might...
I think that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, people understand yeah. pie charts a lot more than a friggin' pyramid.
Sure. Yeah. I think it's a good visual. It's a literal visual. It's what literally you're eating. It's on a plate. I mean, I've heard a lot of people give flack about no matter what you think about the presidency or whatnot, Republican, Democrat. I don't really care. I'm not going to discuss that. But what I will say is, I think that a lot of the food and health based stuff that Michelle Obama has done that I've been looking at, I think it's very logical. I think that it's very simple. I think that there's a lot of good stuff in there, and I haven't really disagreed that much with what she does. I mean, sure, we can nitpick. I'm not saying that there couldn't be adjustments, but
it's better.
I think it's better. It's a step in the right direction, at least.
And let's just pretend it's not even the president's wife. Let's just say it's
yeah. I mean, even
people,
if she was some nutritionist or RD or a governor of some whatever, yeah. I don't care. Like I don't care what she is, but I think that it's a step in the right direction. And that food pyramid, I'm gonna admit, it confused me. When I was a kid, I didn't understand it.
It's like what's 11 like 11 servings of grains?
Yeah.
Like how the hell am I to eat all that?
It was kind of confusing. I think putting
cereal.
It on the plate and showing a visual of what it is, I think that makes sense. So yeah.
Did the berries count in the Captain Crunch? Because
those berries count, Kevin Larry.
Damn right. And let's be real, like the FitCast supports the Green Party. We are Ralph Nader supporters. I'm just kidding. That guy needs all the help he can get. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for the Pulse for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to send your stories to Pulse at theficast.com, or you can send them to Kevin at theficast.com or questions at theficast.com. You can find us both on Facebook. You can also find us both on Twitter. And that's it for this week. Hopefully you will join us next week. Thank you, as always, for joining me, Lee and John. I hope you get to hang out with Menudo as well. What's that other song that he had? Not only Living La Vida Loca, but it was...
I don't know. Like I know Ricky Martin.
Oh, no.